Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Chase, white circle, shoots and scores! A shorthanded goal for Jonathan Tate.
Kubalik in front, he shoots and scores!
Dominic Kubalik,
side of the leaf line, right circle, shoots and scores!
Kane, he set it up for Carpenter to slice, and he scores! Patrick Kane has 1,000 NHL points!
It's time for another episode of Blackhawks Crazy,
presented by FanList.
Is this the game that gets Alex DeBrincat back on track?
Here's Kane, top left circle, shoot, he scores! In front of the net, I believe DeBrincat tapped it, and the Hawks have finally solved Pecorine in this hockey game.
Chris Bowden and Joe Brand break down the latest storylines surrounding your favorite Chicago hockey team.
The power play goal, he's standing in front of the net, but the breakaway in overtime, that's one where you're going, wow.
Picked off by Keith to DeBrincat, a breakaway in overtime for the win over the Predator line. Scores! The Cat! It's an overtime game-winning goal!
That's hockey, baby!
Here's Chris Bowden and Joe Brand.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to March. Welcome to a new Blackhawks Crazy podcast presented by FanList. As I, Chris Bowden, your pre- and post-game host on WGN, and him, Joe Brand, your... What can we call you, Joe? What kind of Blackhawks reporter? Stealth? Workmanlike, damn good. I think that's what we should go with.
I would have been totally fine with par. I mean,
no.
Usually, you just bring out adjectives.
It depends if we go golf references. Below par would not be a good way to call you as a reporter.
But I guess,
in any event, let's get this thing going here because I can't think at 11:10 at night as we record here after a Blackhawks 6-2 victory over the Anaheim Ducks in the first of 11 games. 15 total in the month of March, but 11 games here at the United Center. The Blackhawks winning their third straight as they can only remain 6 points out of the wild card. But we are presented by FanList. So without further ado, let's tell you about FanList. Blackhawks Crazy Podcast is sponsored by FanList. FanList is the best platform for season ticket holders to sell their tickets. Are you a Blackhawks season ticket holder who sells multiple games? Get over to FanList.com/BlackhawksCrazy, spelled FanlyST.com. FanList partners with multiple ticket marketplaces and lists tickets for sale across all marketplaces all at once. Sites like StubHub, Vivid Seats, SeatGeek, GameTime, and many more. And they do all the work. Multiple marketplaces will increase your ticket exposure, causing tickets to sell faster and for higher prices. Plus, FanList is free to use. Registration and listing tickets are free. When tickets sell, FanList charges the industry standard 15% of the final sale price. It's the same rate that all those major marketplaces charge. There are no hidden costs or added fees to use FanList. It's the best way for you as a season ticket holder to sell your tickets. Go to FanList.com/BlackhawksCrazy to receive a $20 bonus on your first sale, FanlyST.com/BlackhawksCrazy. And thank you once again to FanList for being our presenting sponsor. We are also joined by Curtis Koch, our producer, who is kind of standing with his arms crossed, tapping his foot, overseeing and correcting all our mistakes here. Which meant we probably should have started over again from the top since I couldn't find an adjective for you, Joe.
Well, you also promised him that he could read the fan list read.
There's no third microphone here. Our Hall of Famer, Paul Zarang, did not come through with a third microphone.
That's what
here.
You're going to blame it on? Okay.
I think he's going to fall out of the Hall of Fame. His plaque is coming down.
He's also in charge of the editing, so he could just record it at home and put it in there if he wanted to.
That's right. We could do that. He can pull the rug out from under us at any moment here because I don't know how to plug this stuff in or work the dials and whatnot. But without further ado, first of all, our stealth reporter wasn't even here for the start of the game. Joe working UIC basketball conference tournament action as the Mighty Flames came up a big winner tonight over Ooey Pooey.
Took down IUPUI in favorable fashion.
Indiana University, Purdue University, at Indianapolis.
You got it. Right. Wow.
What's the nickname, though?
The Jaguars.
The Jaguars.
Jaguars.
Congratulations to the Flames, who move on to a big matchup with Youngstown State, Thursday at Loyola?
Yep, at the Gentile Arena, 7 o'clock, the quarterfinals of the Horizon League Tournament.
This is your Flames Crazy Podcast, everybody, but let's get back on track here because, heck, we've got three straight wins to talk about, a 6-2 victory over the Anaheim Ducks, and it was good to see the Blackhawks continue rolling here, picking up where they left off at the end of that road trip. Nice wins in Tampa Bay and Florida. And, you know, I brought up in the pregame that usually when teams come back from extended road trips, you know, it's a soft performance at home for whatever reason. That really hasn't been the case of the Blackhawks this year. Each time they've had a minimum three-game road trip, they started out 4-0 this season in their first game back here at the United Center, and then they lost to the Rangers following that the Canadian trip last month. They lost here to the Rangers, but now they improved to 5-1 coming off quote-unquote extended road trips, and it's good to see the momentum going. And what was also good to see, the line that Jeremy Colleton put together in those final two games of the road trip with Jonathan Toews, Dominic Kubalik, and Brandon Saad was a really, really good line for those two games in particular, and you're almost expecting that to carry over. Zero tonight, but it's the other lines that really pick up. And probably the most impressive one was from the number one star of the game, Dylan Strome. Alex Nylander and Patrick Kane on the wings for Dylan Strome. And that line ended up accounting for, they were on the ice for four goals. So it was nice to spread the wealth here a little bit tonight.
Blackhawks just abolishing all the stigmas that they've had. They can't win at home. They can't win in the black and white uniforms. And look at them today. But I think what you saw today was depth, and you saw a lot of it. I mean, we went into the dressing room after the game, and we're talking to who? Alex Nylander, Adam Boqvist. I mean, so it's good to see that happening, especially with these young guys. You bring up that first top line. I don't think you can focus on it too much because of what the team did as a whole. And, you know, one thing that Jeremy Colleton's very right about is he likes the way that this team has played recently. And after Christmas, it wasn't as consistent as they would have liked it to be. But when it was at its peak, that's the Blackhawks that could be a playoff team. Who knows how far they would go, but that's the team that could be a playoff team. They had so much difficulty finding that consistency at the beginning of the year. And now you're seeing a lot more spurts of it. I think these guys are playing with a lot less pressure because the trade deadline is coming and gone. Yes, they are still mathematically alive for a playoff spot. Is it ideal? Really not. Mm-hmm. And I think in the back of their head, they understand that. But hey, if it's going to make these guys play freer and play a little looser and incorporate just about everybody, and guys like Dylan Strome are going to come away with a two-goal game, that's a positive thing.
And as we end action on Tuesday night here, I mentioned earlier they're still 6 points out of the wild card spots, which now belong to Vancouver and Winnipeg after the Jets won their game on Tuesday night. Nashville loses a third in a row, this time to the Minnesota Wild. So it's Vancouver and Winnipeg at 74 points. Then you have Minnesota, which is 1-6 of 8 after a coaching change in the middle of a stretch where they were playing pretty well. Minnesota 1 point behind Vancouver and Winnipeg. They're at 73 points. Then comes Nashville and Arizona at 72 and the Blackhawks at 68. You're going to keep looking back at that Canadian trip when they went 1-4 as the one that's going to end up killing these Blackhawks. But I do believe there is another strong run in this team if it hasn't begun already. And the test will certainly be stiff in their next game on Thursday night against those high-flying Edmonton Oilers who remain within striking distance of the top of the Pacific Division along with the Vegas Golden Knights as they have beaten two straight Central Division teams and blown out Nashville on Tuesday and then winning in overtime at Dallas. Nashville on Monday winning in overtime at Dallas on Tuesday while the Hawks were taking care of business against the Anaheim Ducks. And you mentioned some of the other guys you're talking to in the locker room. Before we hear from Dylan Strome from our WGN postgame show on Tuesday evening, Adam Boqvist, second straight game that he has that little slap pass, you know, making it look like he's going to fire it on net and then targeting a guy right outside the blue paint. Jonathan Toews on Saturday night in Florida, and then here on Tuesday night did it with Drake Kajula, who scores in a second consecutive game. And it's been a season, obviously, of fits and starts for a 19-year-old defenseman in this league. Kind of rushed up, perhaps a little bit earlier than expected, and he flashes well, and then there's a little setback. There's some healthy scratches. Go up to the press box and watch a little bit, kid, after you make a couple of mistakes in games on that Canadian road trip. And now for two consecutive games, you see some of the way he sees the game and the way he can execute offensively. And the opponent's going to sniff it out, but for the here and now, it's good to see him have that vision and make those plays. And again, it kind of ramps up the excitement as to the potential of this kid.
And it's good to just see him incorporating that with other players and other lines. I know I've mentioned this a lot this year, but Adam Boqvist is a guy that's a beneficiary of the surplus of injuries that the Hawks have had this year. So this guy is going to get a lot of playing time because of this. And I still feel like that does wonders for the guy of the status of a young defenseman like him. So he is going to try out some things like that, and it really worked today. And I get it. They played the Anaheim Ducks today. But it's the depth that was showcased today. It wasn't the stars just contributing. It was a lot of different pieces. And something that Adam Boqvist brought up after the game was I asked about the camaraderie after this trade deadline. And he's like, you know, we only lost two players, but there is just that kind of resurgence of the younger guys coming up and everybody learning with each other a little bit. And it is two players, but once you go through that, it's okay, here's our team. Here's who we ride until the end of the season with, and here's who we got. So you get that little bit of companionship a little bit more, and I think it's very beneficial for a young guy like Adam Boqvist to be a part of that and gain some extra confidence from still being there.
And looking at computer, I'm just startled now that Curtis takes a picture of us talking here to tweet out about the recording that he is witnessing here. Not my good side there, Curtis.
Not mine either.
Anyway, hey, it's a part of getting the message out there. In any event, Dylan Strome, we mentioned him now centering a line once again, back in his comfort zone. That's some of the things we discussed when he joined Troy Murray and myself on the post-game show following the 6-2 victory over Anaheim. And I teed Dylan up first about the night that he had, scoring his first goal in 15 games. He hadn't scored since January 5th. That predated his ankle injury and his recovery during the bye week and the All-Star break. It's been a rough go of him. He had just 3 points, all assists over the course of the previous 14 games. He gets on the board twice, adds an assist, and is a plus four. Here's Dylan Strome on the post-game show after his best night of the season.
Yeah, felt good. Obviously, we're, you know, had a tough stretch there for a while, but we got back on the winning ways, and nice to obviously contribute. I feel like I've had a bunch of chances. Just, you know, sometimes they just don't go in, and tonight I had a few in the first, and then I went off the goalie's knob, and you know, felt good. So finally got one in there, and Kaner made a great play in the second one.
If you look at when line combinations are put together, and you guys were put together a couple games ago, basically, and you've got Nylander and Patrick Kane on the wings there, what was the conversation between you three as far as what you guys wanted to do as a line, as far as your mindset?
Actually, we played together a little bit earlier in the year, us three, and we had some good games. So I think Kaner was really confident. It's obviously nice when you get on a line with a guy like him, and he really wants to be on your line. It feels like he is excited to be out there with us, and you know, he loves the way we both play together, all three of us, I think. So I think he got a hat trick against Minnesota, and then he got 4 points in Winnipeg the next game. So I think, you know, he liked playing with us, and he was confident in us. And obviously, so when we got poked back together, he was pretty happy. And it's good to have that that confidence in your line mates. And I think he has it in us, and I think it showed tonight.
Yeah, and also you opportunity to go back to center, your natural position, and you had a stretch there at wing, the good soldier. It was obviously a learning process, really, for the first extended time in that. But I'm sure there has to be a nice little comfort level getting back in the middle.
Yeah, I just, you know, when I guess when you do something for your whole life, you just you're more comfortable there. Never really been a winger, but sometimes you got to change for the team for the better. Obviously coming back off injury, we were playing pretty well, and kind of just fit better on the wing, and then switched up the lines a bit, and you know, found myself taking a lot of draws with Docker, but still playing on the wing. I just feel like I'm more confident at center, can make some more plays, help my line mates out, and feel pretty good defensively. I've been talking to coach a lot about getting better defensively and doing the little things, and I feel like we're doing a pretty good job as a line and myself.
Jonathan Toews, yesterday I think it was talking about the team's getting back to a better rotation as far as the way that you guys were playing before the break, and all of a sudden now things are starting to snowball in the right direction. How important is it for everybody to contribute in the manner that they are, whether you're a scoring line, a checking line, whether you're supposed to do one thing or have a different assignment? How important is that depth moving forward here as you guys push towards a playoff position?
I think it's huge. You look at the best teams in the league, and they got four lines that play quite a bit. I think the fourth line usually plays around maybe anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes, but I think they give good minutes. And I think we have four really good lines that contribute. I think we're the way they are right now. I feel like we're pretty confident in every line going out there. You see. For example, myself or Kirby going out there taking the D zone draw when, that's what Taser's obviously really good at is taking those draws and being good defensively. And I think coach has shown a lot of confidence in both myself and Kirby to go take those draws. And it's obviously nice when a coach has that confidence in you. So you got to earn that back. You got to earn that confidence as well. So I feel like when all four lines are rolling, it's fun to play with. Obviously Heisey with a great play tonight, and we're feeling good.
What's been the key to that turnaround at the Dot? You were struggling a little bit out there early in the season. Over the course of the last four, five, six games, maybe it's been. You've been regularly above 50%, six out of 12 here tonight. How does that turn around?
I think just, I said it yesterday in the media a little bit. We were like just talking, and my minutes obviously haven't been the same since before I got hurt. But, when you're...
And playing wing, too.
Yeah, playing wing. And when you're out there, maybe 4 or 5 minutes less each game, it's more important that you win the faceoff and get out there and really try to figure something out with your line mates to get the puck back. If you're out there a couple less minutes a game and you're starting and they're starting with the puck every time, it's not as easy. So really just trying to dig in and working on practice and using Taser and getting better, and obviously he's one of the best in the league, so it's a good guy to go against in practice.
The goaltending has been solid all season long, and the way that Corey is playing right now, it's obviously got to give you guys a lot of confidence in the way that he is playing. If you guys do make a mistake, he's been there the last little while. How important is it for you guys as a group to have that confidence in your goaltending that's been there all season long?
For sure. Especially in Florida, those two games there, Tampa and Florida, he made absolutely massive saves. And tonight was no different. He made a bunch of huge saves when they kind of tilted the ice a little bit towards us. And, Leonard was great, obviously, when he was here, and Crow's been great all year. They both, we haven't played as well in front of Crow as we did it for Leonard, and I think that's why the record's a little bit worse. But, he's been playing the same the whole year. He's been solid and makes those huge saves that we need, and it gives us the confidence that, if they get a chance, he's going to dial it in and stop it, and he expects us to score, and we've been helping him out there.
Well, as we cut you loose here, I was gonna ask you about the opponent in two nights, which wins again tonight. Edmonton, after putting up an 8th spot, they go into Dallas and win an overtime tonight, 2-1. We'll save that. We'll save that for tomorrow and Thursday. But I gotta look ahead all the way to April 4th.
I know what game that is.
New York Rangers. You're still an Ofer against Ryan. And to add insult to injury, your mom goes into the opposing locker room and gives out the starting lineup here a couple of weeks ago. Are you back on speaking terms yet or no?
Yeah, I was. I felt like I played pretty good that game and just didn't get rewarded.
Well, you won the opening draw.
Obviously my mom, I think my brother's a loudmouth in their dressing room, and I think Coach Quinn decided to maybe rub it in my brother's face a little bit and get my mom in there. So she did 2 games in a row, and they won both. So I think, Ryan's at an age a few years off his life, and it definitely age a few years off my life. It's just tough to watch sometimes, but she had fun, and I think she'll remember that forever. So
well, I mean, he's got to be getting the business too. But she went right up there and kissed him as soon as she got in the locker room too.
I'm sure he put some money on the board after that. That's guaranteed for sure.
Are you gonna let her do that for
no.
you one of these times?
No,
no, that's
no.
that's out.
No. It's Dad's trip next year anyway, right? So that's good.
You heard Troy and Dylan and myself talking about his recent success at the faceoff circle. kind of dovetailing into moving back to center, having to adjust to wing for a while there. But he wasn't very good at the dot late last season or early on this season, really struggling well below 50% this season in the 43-44% range. But over the course of the last six games, 62%, had a monster game against the Rangers, and partly his brother winning 10 of 12. And on the night here, actually, we didn't include heading into tonight, in which he was 7 for 7, 6 of 12, or 7 for 14, one or the other. But again, 62% coming into the night, and that's important if he's going to continue to play center. There's also a thing in the back of his mind about his contract, which he says he's setting aside, but that certainly kind of plays into the psyche. Really good to see him going, and once again, you're wondering if that line, Patrick Kane getting shut out for consecutive games for just the third time this season, heading into this one. But they were on fire tonight, and another guy was too. And, you know, we're still waiting to see Alex Nylander. I think a lot of us are leaning a certain way with what his body of work has been so far this season, with all the opportunities he's been getting. And he finally showed a little bit something, a nice little hold on the goal that he had as he approached John Gibson late in that second period, and then 15 seconds later, setting up Kane for his 29th of the year, too.
Now, I think he showed a little more than just a little something. I mean, yeah, he had left with a plus three today. He had a beautiful move on his goal. I think that line was just contagious today with Strome clicking, and, I mean, heck, Strome, Kane, and Nylander, that line had four of the six goals today. But the whole Dylan Strome situation, this is easy to say in hindsight, but a lot of times when you move guys around, positioning in really any sport, you go back to the original position that they were, and sometimes having more responsibilities can help clear their mind. I mean, Dylan Strome has so much going on this year with, like you mentioned, a contract coming up. He dealt with some injury. He has struggled, and like you said, working out in another position might create more pressure, create more problems, create more questions in his head. So when you go back to that and you have the responsibility of, all right, face-offs and managing the line and creating the flow of the offense on the ice at that moment, sometimes it's easier to just score that way. I don't know if that's the case, but sometimes that is what happens. And it's almost like simple is better, and in that case, it's Dylan Strome going back to the spot he's used to.
He was almost a point-per-game scorer when he came in here after the trade with Arizona last season. Coming into Tuesday night, he had just 33 points in 52 games, obviously a lot of that having to do with the previous 14. No goals and three assists there during that stretch. But this is a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately league. Yes, you look great against the Anaheim Ducks. You got the Edmonton Oilers coming in on Thursday night, and let's see how you can hold up as far as that's concerned. But once again, haven't heard from Alex Nylander in a while, and after a goal and an assist on Tuesday night, here is the rookie, former Buffalo Sabre, after the 6-2 win.
To get those goals and playing with the line today, I got some good chemistry, so we just need to build off that, and obviously we can get better. We will work on that throughout the week.
What did you see on that 2-on-1? It seemed like everyone just kind of ignored you when they had the puck.
Yeah, exactly. I just saw he was kind of fading a little bit towards Taser. He was a little bit open, but then just saw it open lane to the net, and like a mini breakaway, so I took it and scored.
You like that move, don't you, when you're coming in slow on the goaltender?
Yeah, of course, just fake the shot a little bit and go back. And he was kind of coming out a little bit for waiting for the shot, obviously, because it was a 2-on-1, but it was nice to get that one.
What do you think you have to do just a little more consistently to keep this going and, you know, to stretch it out and, you know, have more games like this?
Yeah, of course, you need to keep building off through practice, having good practices correlate to the game, so which I think I've been doing. I think I've been playing well lately, and just need to keep building off that, and obviously playing with Kaner and Stromer, we just got to keep working hard every day, every shift, and we can build good chemistry. We got better throughout the game, and it was a lot of fun.
Obviously a big night for the whole line with Strome also scoring twice. What's clicking with you guys?
I mean, we have played a little bit together throughout the season, and I thought we've been playing well together through those games. So kind of everybody wants the puck. We all want to play the puck, too. So I think we work really well together. And obviously, playing with Kaner and Strome has been really good. So just need to keep going to the net when Kaner has it. And he finds me and Stromer in the open plays there.
What do you see in Corey right now with the stretch of games now that he's played? It looks like he's really hitting his best stride of the year.
Yeah, I mean, he's been playing really good all these games. He's been really helping us out, and it's really confident for us players when we have him in the back of the net. So he's been doing really well, and we just need to keep playing now, three in a row. So we got a big month ahead of us that we need to keep going here.
What do you think has been the key to the streak so far?
Well, I think we're playing playing more simple in the D zone. We're helping each other out, talking more, getting more clean plays out of the D zone leads to better offense. We're getting the pucks to the net. More guys are coming to the net, and we're playing all solid games. So we've been getting better and better throughout each game.
Alex Nylander now with 9 goals and 23 points on the season. Hasn't been taking a seat very often. He has been given plenty of opportunities, and as we were just talking about, what have you done for me lately, league? And let's see if Strome and Nylander, not to mention Patrick Kane, can keep things going against what's going to be a real interesting matchup, how to match up against the Edmonton Oilers, who are on a serious run here. And again, this week so far, blasting through the rest of the Central Division. Nylander, by the way, that was his 61st game. Again, 9 goals and 23 points. And that's part of the narrative that we've discussed in previous podcasts. If the Hawks do fall short of the playoffs, all right, then let's see what some of these young kids can do down the stretch. Because Jeremy Colleton, we played a bite in our pregame show, him raving about the leadership and the follow-us kind of mentality of Taves and Kane and Keith and Crawford here during this recent stretch, where a lot of guys, even veteran guys, would say, all right, forget it, let's start polishing the golf clubs. But they've kept their nose to the grindstone. The Blackhawks continue playing hard, and they seem to be determined to, at the very least, make it interesting here down the stretch. If they can't get over the hump, at least make it interesting here. And now, I guess the other big thing, besides from young players, can you start winning at home consistently? Because they haven't been able to do that for the last 2 or 3 years either.
And yesterday at practice, Jeremy Colleton was talking about that with Dominic Kubalik, how he's a guy who wants to have the puck, and he wants to be that guy to show the offense. I mean, this is a rookie, and he's doing that. So I think that speaks a lot to Dominic Kubalik's character, and I think you don't get that unless you have the type of leadership that the Blackhawks have, like with all those names that you mentioned. And that was something that Corey Crawford talked about, too. It was interesting. I think he called them high-pressure games. It can be very beneficial for the young guys, and they can. I don't know if you call these games high-pressure games, but maybe for some situations this year, but it's tough to call it that. I do like the approach that the players are, you know, still saying, we understand where we are in the standings. It's still mathematically alive, so we still think it's alive. I mean, because
the cynical crowd out there wants to believe it or not, but
right, know, yeah, but even if you do, like, what do you expect these guys to say? And if you're Jeremy Colleton, you got to have that same approach too, and that's what he has.
Well, before we hear from Jeremy after the game, a quick question for you. I pose this to Troy as well. Patrick Kane now ties Dominic Kubalik once again for the team lead with his 29th goal. I asked this to Troy the other night. For the second time in 3 years, are we going to have a rookie Blackhawk telling Patrick Kane, here, hold my beer while I win the team goal-scoring race?
Was it DeBrinket 2 years ago? Is that what it was? Wow. No. That's interesting, because honestly, if you didn't say that, I wouldn't have remembered that DeBrinket passed him, and I still would have to put my money on Patrick Kane. Yeah. How can you bet against Patrick Kane? But that's pretty interesting. Wow.
Kubalik now with a 2-game goal drought after his hat trick in Tampa Bay. In any event, let's hear from Jeremy Colleton. And you will also hear Jeremy here being asked what happened early in the third period when Corey Crawford, I believe, took a knee to the face mask while playing a puck. And and by the way, thanks for filling me in on that, guys, as I went to the grub line as that occurred. And I'm like, wait, Malcolm Subban's in the game?
It all happened very fast. And the thing was, Subban came off so quickly when Gene Honda says, now in goal, number 50, Corey Crawford.
Minute 10.
I'm like, come on, Gene, you got it wrong. It's Subban. How did you just miss this? And I was wrong. It happened so quickly. So yeah. We all need a mulligan there.
So it was a quick return, an awfully quick return for Corey Crawford if it comes to concussion protocol based on his history. But he clarifies why that happened so quickly here, among other things, as he discusses his team's 6-2 victory over the Anaheim Ducks.
Important win for us, first game after that road trip, and typically that's a tougher one. But I was pretty happy with our start the first 10 minutes. I thought we were aggressive and did a lot of good things. Second 10, didn't love as much. I thought we'd turn the puck over and give them some free chances. But then I thought we won the game in the second period with, you know, we came out, our first couple rotations were excellent, and we score the goal. And then, you know, I thought that's where we won the game, obviously. So that's something we've been talking about, is trying to string multiple shifts together to build momentum. And we did that, and big win.
Cautionary thing with Crawford there, where he came to the bench for.
Yeah, so you know, we got the spotters. Originally, there was a little bit of miscommunication as far as it being mandatory or discretionary. He felt fine. He didn't feel anything with his head, but we thought it was mandatory, so he had to come out. But Gapper checked him out, and he seems to be good. So that's clearly, no one wants to see him coming off.
Really, you scored six goals, but that two-man kill that you had in the second kind of changed the momentum, didn't it?
Yeah, it was big because, you know, they scored the goal to make it 2-1, you know, when I thought we were really coming, and they got a little bit of life, and then we have to end up killing a couple penalties. So that was big for us, and then I thought we got back to it, playing the way we want to play the rest of the period. But, you know, if it's a tie game or whatever, then you know, obviously things would be different. So a lot of good things there.
I know you guys have been gauging a lot of what Boquist does by what he's doing in the defensive zone, but just to see him be a little bit more offensive and get involved in the offensive zone, it seems like he's getting more comfortable doing that.
Yeah, and that's part of the package he brings for us. You know, he won't have to defend so much if he can be cleaner with the puck, and I thought him and Dunk tonight were really on the same page as far as being an option and clean and flat and hard, and whether that was on the breakout or on the offensive blue line. So that was nice to see, and you know, I'm sure he's going to get better and better. I'm sure there'll be some steps back too, but he was good tonight.
What did you think of that 15-second stretch by Nylander?
That was pretty good. You know, it's Canner's like, why are you taking us off? I'm like, well, two goals in one shift, what are you going to do? So no, he made some plays tonight, and you know, that line, there's a lot of skill on that line, and if they work away from the puck and get above the puck defensively, then they're going to be in the offensive zone, and then they can do some special things.
You've seen Nylander pull that move off in practice numerous times and in games occasionally. What does he need to do to just be more consistent and be able to be that player more often?
He's trying. You know, it's going to continue to be a work in progress, and again, I go back to just the work away from the puck, and sometimes just making a hard, clean play, you know, with sort of an assertive mentality. Like sometimes he wants to do the right thing, but he also wants to make a play, and he kind of get caught in between. And you know, I thought tonight he made a lot of assertive plays, and that's what he needs to do.
What about Strome? Big night for him too after struggling lately.
Yeah, and I think he's been getting better and better over the last few weeks. More and more active away from the puck. I think, you know, playing center, he's been really good, I think, in D-zone. He's done a good job. It's obviously been a point of emphasis for him to be really good down there so he can get out of there and play in the offensive zone. And I like his game the last few times.
Before your trip to Florida, a lot of people might have said, this team can't do anything anymore. Three in a row now. What's the core that makes this happen? How do you keep it going?
Oh, they're not going to quit. They're never going to give up. There's been multiple times through the year where, you know, people could have said and probably did say that this group is dead and buried. But we have lots of games left, lots of home games left, and we've shown that we're resilient. And, you know, ultimately it's just finding that consistency in our game. We have a lot of young players, and that is going to be a challenge. But I think we're improving all the time.
There's Jeremy Colleton after his team's win over the Anaheim Ducks, three in a row now, 30th victory of the year. We're going to give Ernie Skatten a night off for introducing our Slapshots segment, basically because you guys are giving Ernie a night off. We're tweeting it out there, but you're not getting back to us, with the exception of our pal Margo here. Her question was what we thought of Malcolm Subban's performance.
Which no, you already no asked. On, you no, already asked Troy, no so we already have.
That was our lead question in the post game show. You know, we don't want to bury the lead, so we went right to Malcolm Subban. It's a minute 10 performance without facing a shot. Although he did have some activity around him. But speaking of goaltenders, let's get back to Corey. Last 16 games, 38 goals against. He came in, I have not updated the numbers here, but he came in his previous 15 with 36 goals against a .928 save percentage. In the last 16, he has allowed two or fewer 11 times, and the rest, three, with the exception of the crazy sloppy 6-5 loss in St. Louis last Tuesday. So Corey Crawford looks like the best type of Corey Crawford right now. And this comes in the wake of Robin Leonard being traded. But even prior to Robin Leonard being traded, he was playing better than Robin. And Robin's come out and said a couple of things, and there's been some back and forth with some of the media here in Chicago about, you know, reports that are out there, him, you know, either validating or denying or shooting down stuff that's out there from a media perspective, where contract negotiations were going. But and you have the quotes here too, Joe. After he left here, you know, he was very gracious, saying, you know, thanks to Chicago, great team, wish them luck, great fans, yada yada. But then when he got to Vegas, he started talking about his time here in Chicago, and I think he's revising history a little bit here. Let's not be mistaken. Robin was great, and took the net from Corey for a stretch for much of December, going past the first of the year into January until January 3rd. In that, I think it was a 7-5 loss in Vancouver, wild game there, where he tweaked his knee, finished the game, but then he had to sit out a couple of games for that knee to recover. I think it was only two, maybe three, before he was backup eligible again. But in the meantime, Corey established some momentum, and then the times that Robin got back in the net, he was not as effective. You combine that with contract negotiations that we cannot be sure how deep they went, how serious they got, to what degree they were at. But it all led to him being traded to the Vegas Golden Knights. He will remain an unrestricted free agent and head into the offseason on the market. But you have the quotes that he said a couple of days after he got situated in Vegas to one of the reporters out there. And I'm sorry, as much as I respect Robin and for his as blunt and honest as he was in terms of his play and the team's play while he was here, this quote of mine, it got me scratching my head a little bit, and I can't agree that he's necessarily stating, I won't say fact, but the way things really were here.
So he said this to Justin Emerson of the Las Vegas Sun. "I went to Chicago to help them out and got promises of getting a fair chance to play. I came there with a good mindset, fit into the team. I didn't play much in the beginning of the season. Even if I played well, had a good camp. Eventually, I took over and I won. I think I won 9 out of 10, 12 out of 15, and we walked up 1 point out of a playoff spot. Then all of a sudden, I found myself on the bench for no reason. That was tough. Plus, negotiations totally died out." What do you have right now? Is that the regular season of where they were standing in the playoff?
And yeah, remember that Corey got the net four of the first six games. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, once Robin got in, you know, he was definitely solid. And I think most Blackhawk fans would agree, at the very least, a hair better than Corey overall in his overall play. Then comes January 3rd. And again, Robin had that stretch where 6 starts out of 7, and he came in relief in that 7th one when Corey got roughed up in a game, and he had those 6 starts in 7 games, and in the first 5 starts, 1 goal against and a win, 3 goals against and a win, 2 goals against and a win, 2 goals against and a win, 3 goals against and a win. So the Hawks were putting something together. He was the guy in the blue paint. And then January 2nd at Vancouver is that 6 goals against game. And he ended up injuring his knee very late. Stayed in. So Corey comes in and makes 3 straight starts, allows 2, and 3 goals in those 3 starts. And Robin came back in and had a couple of solid starts as well. 2 goals against, both victories. Corey gets a couple of consecutive starts as well. allows 3 goals total in those 2 games. Robin goes back in the net, and then over the course of his next few, not so much immediately, but then let's begin a sequence here. 4 goals against on 26 shots, 2 on 40, 4 on 30 shots, 4 on 42 shots, and in his last game with the Blackhawks, 6 goals against on 41 shots. He was not as sharp as Corey was once he lost that net. Maybe not immediately, but as Corey continued playing well and perhaps a little bit more consistently at a higher level, these things ebb and flow, you know, whether it's how a team performs over the course of the season or individuals like goalies. And Corey then kind of nudged ahead in terms of his immediate performance. And I think Robin's just, I just can't quite agree with his assessment of that.
Yeah, well, here's the issue I have. And I have been a huge Robin Leonard advocate all season long. And I still think there's a world where possibly he's a Blackhawk this year. After all this came out, I think that's really, really dwindled down. But here's my issue is the part of the quote where he says, "Then all of a sudden, I found myself on the bench for no reason." The other goaltender on the team, the other goaltender in the team is Corey Crawford,
and they got along fine. There wasn't any friction or anything between them.
I mean, that's not no reason.
And they both want the net,
exactly. And the thing is, like you said, yeah, Robin was playing a smidge better. But if it was some backup situation or a situation where they keep bringing the guy up from the AHL, I would get it. But that's not the situation. I mean, coming into this year, you knew Corey Crawford was your goalie. We're going to see what Robin Leonard can do. And Robin Leonard showed what he could do. But even when I talked to Corey yesterday at practice, the thing I brought up was, what did you learn about yourself succeeding so well in this tandem situation? Because it's unique to you. And he said, well, you know, last year we had Cam Ward. And it's like, yeah, you're always going to have another goalie. But Cam Ward wasn't Robin Leonard last year. And like the only thing that was close to it was the Scott Darling situation in the playoff run. But that's the playoffs, a whole other animal. And he mentioned how difficult it is. And it's very difficult.
He's a rhythm goalie.
I'm sure most goalies are, if not all. But I think Robin just really took it to heart when he did so well. And he would find himself on the bench. But, I mean, Chris, remember when the Joel Quenneville game came, and we thought for sure Corey would be a shoo-in because that's what Jeremy Colliton does. He lets players go against their old teams, but in this case it would have been.
And he's been great in his career against Florida,
exactly.
Too.
And he started Robin Leonard. So, I mean, there were situations where Corey Crawford got the spot on the bench, and I'm sure he wasn't happy about it either. I agree with you. I just think... This was a little bit too reactive for him to say this, just because the part where all of a sudden I found myself on the bench for no reason, there's a reason there, and it's a good reason.
And in some of his quotes, in different exchanges that follows, he comes to admit that, yeah, the whole contract thing was playing on his mind, as some of us, as we were assuming on a couple of our podcasts, when that play started to slip a little bit. Corey was playing a little bit better. Perhaps Robin wasn't getting the net as much. And then all the extra laundry and, you know, baggage with his future. And no matter where or to what length those contract negotiations came, it didn't look like anything was going to be happening before the deadline, or even if they had kept him after the deadline. And that led to the trade as well, along with the team's overall performance.
And that's why this hinders, or at least that's why I feel this hinders the chance of Robin Leonard being a Blackhawk next year, because of everything you said after being traded and going into the trade deadline. Like you said, he said it took an effect on his play. And then all this stuff comes out about possible contract negotiations that they never met on the money. And that's what I don't get. The story came out that Robin Leonard offered to the team, "I would take less money for a shorter term." And then Robin Leonard says on Twitter, trying to find it exactly.
There was some back and forth between him and Chicago media.
I said I wanted to be this was between him and John Dietz. I said I wanted to be paid fair after you asked me if I would take less because of my history. That was earlier in the year.
Early January.
And when he goes, money was never discussed. He says money was never discussed. Life goes on. Enjoyed my time. So I find it very hard to believe that the Blackhawks and Robin Leonard talked about lengthwise of a contract and not the money. That doesn't make sense to me, especially if Robin Leonard was willing to take less. So either they didn't talk at all, or they talked but didn't talk about money. I just don't get how that makes sense. And I'm not bashing Mark Lazarus' story, I very well believe he got that source and that was credible information, but that's what doesn't add up. And this is Robin Leonard saying this. Mm-hmm. So when he does this, and then when he says something about how he disliked the team, that's going to be tough to sell yourself in the off season. I mean, yes, your play speaks the most. But
here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yes, here. Mm-hmm. But I mean, other teams are going to see this. They yeah. are. And
there are other teams that are going to need goalies, and Robin Leonard is going to fit quite nicely in there. And whether the Blackhawks would have met whatever price he ends up getting in the offseason, that remains to be seen. But as we close here, that leads me up to what Corey has done. And, you know, perhaps Robin was always percolating, and Corey is Mr. Steady Waters.
Right.
Calm waters.
That's got to be
emotionally.
Set.
And he just turned 35 on New Year's Eve, but there's always going to be the concern, and we saw it here tonight momentarily, but he's playing as good, I think, as he ever has right now at age 35, and I think Corey Crawford is going to be back as your number one goaltender next year. And Corey, I'm sure, based on the long history between the two, they'll reach something that's amicable for both sides to get it done and for him to be the number one and either Delia or Lankinen, one of those two guys being the backup.
Well, and it definitely makes the most sense now. And again, I don't know how many times on this podcast I talked about how I would love to see Robin Leonard back. And I still think he is a fantastic goaltender. Yep. And like you said, he's going to land somewhere. He's going to get paid. But I highly doubt it's going to wind up in a Blackhawks uniform. But you're right. The whole Corey Crawford situation is he was steady as a rock towards all this trade negotiation. And granted, it was Robin Leonard being in the middle of the majority of the trade negotiations rather than Corey Crawford. But, I mean, this is still a guy that in some cases lost not his job, but situations, lost games earlier in the year because of the
the teams play in front of him. Yeah,
yeah. So, I mean, this is a guy that didn't care about that and, mm-hmm. and was still Corey Crawford throughout the season.
And as we wrap up here, this final footnote on Robin Leonard in his second game for the Vegas Golden Knights, a 27-save shutout against the New Jersey Devils.
Wow.
And it's a New Jersey team that had been playing well. So Robin's 2-0. He's allowed a total of, I think Buffalo scored twice against him in that first game, once or twice against him.
Yep.
And
32 of 34.
So now there is some potential for something going on with him and Marc-Andre Fleury here down the home stretch for Vegas.
How old is Marc-Andre Fleury?
He's mid upper 30s, but he's the guy in Vegas. He's the face of that franchise. And
sounds familiar.
And he had his previous start wasn't as sharp, and it opens the door for Robin maybe to get a couple consecutive starts here, and that's going to be something very interesting to watch, whether those personalities, and Marc-Andre Fleury is as easygoing a guy as possible, but when you are the guy and you're the one that they have leaned on for the first couple of years of existence, that could end up being a rather interesting dynamic down the stretch for the Golden Knights.
That's the other thing. I think Robin Leonard has so many good qualities to be a playoff goaltender. He's
yeah.
he's a vocal leader. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that can get hot and stay hot. He's a guy that's just in the zone. And I brought it up before. It would have reminded me of the Corey Crawford, Scott Darling situation of 2015.
All right. With that, we will say farewell for now. Curtis is itching to get out of here. He's tired of sitting listening and posting
judging
pictures of us in our prison cell room here. But in any event, we want to thank you all for listening once again. And if not subscribing to the podcast, which we encourage you to do on iTunes and Apple Podcast, if by chance you choose not to. If you do, it'll be ready for you every time we have a new podcast ready and posted. If not, Joe and I will be tweeting out the link to the podcast on WGN. You can find it on WGNRadio.com, as well as our Twitter accounts. Joe's at Joe_Brand1, the number one. I'm at Bowden Tweets, so you can look for that multiple times per day when we have a fresh one out and then some. Our next Blackhawks Crazy podcast, presented by FanList, and thank you, FanList, will be coming your way Monday morning. We're going to go three more games, and after the Blackhawks take on St. Louis, we'll see where they are and what their record is after taking on Edmonton. Going to Detroit, which we expect to be Malcolm Subban's Well, it's not a debut anymore. His first Blackhawks start. And then they come home here to take on the St. Louis Blues. And all the Blues did was win their eighth in a row on Tuesday night as they continue setting the pace in the Central as defending Stanley Cup champs. So, again, we will talk to you on Monday with our next Blackhawks Crazy podcast. Thanks to Ernie. Thanks to Dan Long back at the station for allowing us to do this the fancy way through the Hall of Famers equipment here in the United Center bunker. And thanks, as always, to Curtis Koch for producing for us, if not tweeting out pictures of us on our bad sides here as we record this edition of the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. Have a great rest of the week and weekend, everyone, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
How about that?
They won it.
The Hawks win the Stanley Cup.
Thanks for listening to the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. Tell a friend, subscribe, and join the conversation. And follow the guys on Twitter, @BodenTweets and @Joe_Brand1.
That was great.